Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Around the Payload. I am your host, The Blevins, and we've got a great show here for you tonight. I always love saying that because that's just a thing that people say in monologues. I don't know why. I mean, why would you be here if it wasn't a good show? But thanks, everyone, for being here. If you're new to the show, before I introduce the amazing guests here, I want to kind of go over what we're going to be doing. We're going to be talking about Overwatch, Overwatch League, the greater, wider world of Overwatch, all the stuff that's been happening in the past couple of weeks. I know we've been a little bit dry on stuff to talk about, but we've got some real juicy stuff to talk about. But this is not just a talk show here. We've also got a little bit of a game involved. So if you're listening in podcast world, you're going to hear some noises that sound a little bit like this. That is me doling out points as people say things that I agree with or that I think are good points. And at the end of the rounds, we're going to crown a champion. As you can see here, Ham already has a crown as a former champion. The other three here
straight
are looking for their first. But without further ado, let me introduce the amazing hosts we have here. First, to my top left, we've got Blazing Bob from Watchpoint Radio, Prepare to Attack, the Owl Recap, great podcast extraordinaire. That's what I'll say.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be on, and forever forth, keeping it strong.
You never know. It's always anyone's game up until the very last points here. To my top right, we have Ham Tornado, South American Contenders caster, broadcast.gg project manager, and professional porcine pugilist. Did I get that right?
That's right. 100%. You have 10 out of 10.
Yes. Okay. It only took an hour and a half of prep to get there, but we got there. In the bottom right here, we've got Kyle Wynn, an NA Contenders expert. I coined that phrase, by the way, and host of the Blackwatch Report. What's up, buddy? Welcome back.
Hello, thank you for having me, and I'm going to milk the whole expert title for all it's worth. It's on my resume now.
I'm glad that it is. And last but certainly not least, in the bottom left, we've got Boopasaurus, host of 100 Owl, another South American Contenders caster, and addicted to opening Magic packs, but not actually playing the game.
Yeah, welcome. Sometimes you got to draw the line somewhere, right? Because we all do it to open the packs, not to play the game, really.
I feel like you drew the line on the opposite side. Like you should, you drew the line on the expensive side.
I like being a contrarian, man. I like being contrarian. I like wasting time and money. So I just want to open the packs and give the cards away. It's like a form of charity.
I like it a lot. Speaking of wasting time, let's jump into round number one. Oh, and in the theme of wasting time, my clip's not ready. Someday this will play. Maybe. This is just going to be this type of day, isn't it? I swear I'll edit this out. I'm probably not going to edit it out.
Round one. Okay, this is the capture quality content the that people crave.
There we go. Yeah. We finally, after 20 minutes, the clip finally played. We're going to start off round number one with a nice, big, juicy piece of news here that we got. We heard this recorded. We heard this live while myself and Deathblow were recording High Noon podcast. We reacted to this live. Fissure, to the surprise of, I'd say, very few people, has left LA Gladiators and is now moving to the Seoul Dynasty. So, Bob, we'll start with you. What are your thoughts here? Is this good for Fissure? Is it good for Dynasty? Like, what are you thinking here?
My thoughts is it's good all around. What Seoul needed the whole of season one was a actual main tank. And Fisher's been vocal about thinking that it's better to have a all Korean speaking or an all one language speaking team. So Slasher would have you believe that he said he wanted to go to one, but what he actually has said is he thinks it is better. So this wasn't anything unexpected. Mm-hmm.
For sure. Now, definitely, I don't think was unexpected, especially considering that he did not play in the playoffs for the LA Gladiators. But, Ham, I want to get your thoughts here. It sounds like it's a good deal for Seoul and Fissure, but what about Gladiators? How are they doing with this?
It is going to be rough for Gladiators. I think it's definitely a bigger loss for them, because while you can talk about kind of the personalities clashing, Fissure, you know, he, for all his big talk, he's, you know, in the end, he's still a kid. So you do have to deal with sometimes that bratty and arrogant demeanor, which at first seemed really endearing, but at least has kind of turned me away from him, at least personally. His play is still really excellent because, you know, there, now that you're playing in Overwatch League, you don't represent just yourself, but your team as well. And I hope he's going to be able to balance that responsibility once he gets to Seoul. But this is a huge win for both Fissure and Seoul. I mean, he said that he's always wanted to play on Dynasty, that he even got better offers from other teams that he turned down because he wanted to just play with this roster of players. And of course, Dynasty will be happy to get, like Bob said, an actual main tank. Sorry, Miro. You know, you were hot, you set the bar for Winston's, but then that was kind of just the last mark that you made on the meta. And so if they're able to harness Fissure's aggression and he's not going to be blabbing his mouth off and stuff, then I think Dynasty's going to do great.
Definitely seems like a an interesting spot, to say the least. Kyle, I want to get your thoughts here. What are you thinking about the whole move for Fissure? I mean, this is a player who was in the talks, at least, for potential season MVP, and has been on a quarter of the Overwatch League team. So what are you thinking here, Kyle?
I'm expecting this to be kind of the tip of the iceberg for Seoul. I know that they just brought in, I believe, a new head coach. I think it was one of the Spitfire coaches as well. They have filled the main tank gap that they had an issue with previously. I assume they're probably going to fill the main support, you know, role as well, because they've had issues there as well. Maybe Jaehyung is going to be fine because Anna's coming back a bit. So maybe the team is just going through like a, not a complete reconstruction, but like a moderate reconstruction to fill the main issues that they had. And the new blood mixed with the new coaching, I feel like is going to really kind of give them a good like season two reset. Like, this is a new team. You know, we're different. What happened in the past is the past, and we're moving forward. LA, on the other hand, I think it's cool that they kind of got rid of this player that was kind of damaging their, you know, internal bits. If you have a player who does not want to play with your team, who is unhappy with the team, it's only going to make playing with him even, you know, less enjoyable and more difficult. And so hopefully now that they can bring in a player like Pinker, or someone else who will at least just kind of give them not only good main tank play, but also like be, you know, enjoyable to be on a team with.
Yeah, I just got to give a shout out to everyone on the show for not jumping on the destroying their internal bits. I just, that's just a, that was just,
oh,
that was
no,
just
that
loud.
Was,
I definitely giggled on the inside.
I think I giggled. I think I definitely giggled audibly, but iron control, right?
Professional broadcasters.
Here. Oh yeah,
that's it's amazing. I'm surprised everyone did, and then of course I didn't by bringing it up. But Boop, last words here on the whole Fissure scenario.
So I think we all are in agreement that Miro is not 2016 World Cup Miro on Eichenwald. We all remember that against the U.S. team. That's where he peaked, and I think that's okay to say now. It's been some time, and while people love this guy, and he did set the bar, like Ham said, on how to play Winston, you know, it's just been some time, and there's been some new people coming in, and I think he's just better at this point. And I think the other thing that's really interesting, and I'm really excited to kind of see play out, is the fact that a lot of people said Fissure had an attitude problem, right? And so I think he's finally at a place at Seoul Dynasty where he doesn't have a language barrier. He'll probably have a very supportive team. And if he still has an attitude problem, we can say it's him at this point, right? And so it's not, oh, it's because of this, it's because of this. It's, well, the common thing between all three of these teams is Fissure. And so I'm really excited to see him kind of mesh well, because I think there's a lot of really great opportunity, because he's just, I think, just better off. He's more consistent than Miro is, and if he can mature a little bit before the next season, there is a lot of time in esports. By the time next season rolls around, you've aged 3 years, hopefully. And so when he's included in this team, it's also giving them a sense of stability as well, because I think in the end, what really decides a great team from a good one is that consistent main tank play. And I think Fissure could provide that for Seoul that Miro never could.
Yeah, I definitely agree with a lot of those points. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I still can't see it from Gladiator's perspective, but I'm sure that things will sort themselves out in the end. Let's move on here to the next question here. I want to talk, I mean, Fisher is a big name here. Obviously, again, MVP candidate at least, or MVP talks of being a candidate nominated. So that kind of leads me to believe that no one is safe here. Any player really, I mean, Fisher could be, if Fisher can go, anyone can go is what I'm trying to say here. So Ham, we'll start with you. Are there any other big name players that maybe aren't on the right team right now? Or are there any teams that could really use another player? What are you thinking here for other big name players that might get traded?
Yeah, I think the issue here with Fisher that kind of separates him out, it's definitely true. Like, nobody's really safe, right? But I think what we see with Fisher is that even while you bring a lot of skill, if you don't want to play for the team that's mm-hmm. currently on, that's, like Kyle said, that's where you're going to get massive problems, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't matter how good you are, you don't want to play, right? And so I think it's a smart move in general, even though Glads are going to have to look for somebody else. Another team, though, going back to the question, that could definitely, I wouldn't say, cut some dead weight, but we have seen a lot of players who just haven't gotten any play time, not even mm-hmm. subbing in the way that we see like Ark and Onimo sharing a lot of time. You have mm-hmm. different play styles, two different players or two different play styles to enable the team in different ways. So one example here, I'd be curious to see what happens to Numlock. I keep forgetting that he does actually play for Valiant. Yeah, Valiant, I think. Right? Numlock yes. plays for Valiant, yep. and then another one. Well, I'll stick with Numlock so everybody can get kind of a touch in. But yeah, a guy, I don't know him personally. I'm sure he's a lovely guy, but he just hasn't been playing. And mm-hmm. if you take a look at the T2 caliber of new players, like Boop said, there's so much fresh blood. You can't mm-hmm. stay, complacent with, we're doing pretty good with this, with Fate, he's doing really well. We don't need a sub in Numlock, right? You can't necessarily mm-hmm. just be keeping on players who honestly just, they haven't been playing, so...
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to see that as well for a player like Numlock. We've talked a lot on the show about him. But Kyle, what are your thoughts here? Are there any other players, maybe big name players that might get shipped away this offseason?
There's a lot. I can imagine pretty much the entirety of the original OG Envious roster is going to be trickling away now. Probably just Taimu left. So I think especially for such a legendary team, mm-hmm. They were the first really, really good Overwatch team mm-hmm. that we saw. And just the historical factor being taken into consideration that mm-hmm. now there'll be literally one member left of the original roster who wasn't even technically on the original roster. He's brought in a couple of months in. Mm-hmm. It'll kind of be the end of a legacy, I mm-hmm. suppose. But I don't think any team is also safe from dropping rosters. Everyone, mm-hmm. every single team has someone they can drop and still be okay with. Mm-hmm. But I the only two I would be surprised about were New York and London at this point. Mm.
Yeah, definitely the main two that don't seem like they're in the wheel and deal phase of their careers. But Boop, what are you thinking here? Are there any big names or big ticket players that we might see get shopped around?
Yeah, I actually have some inside info on this. I hear that Jake's going to get traded with Reinforce to be on the desk after his Overwatch World Cup debut. No, I'm just kidding. I think the big thing, I think we're going to see a lot of Contenders players, specifically from Contenders Korea, come into the Overwatch League and mm-hmm. take over a lot of these teams, specifically probably the ones doing the open tryouts. In terms of players that are within Overwatch League now, I think if you've spent more time streaming than you have playing in Overwatch League, you are at risk. So that's mm-hmm. the Houston Outlaw, like Mendo and Grim Reality and some of the, Dallas Fuel guys where, they spent the majority of their time streaming and mm-hmm. that's not going to make you feel good going into, mm-hmm. This next round, because something that I actually kind of like about next season is a little bit of that volatility, right? That mm-hmm. it kind of feels, we're always kind of looking at other sports and this kind of trade deadline and all of that stuff, seeing things that are going to be different next year, can be really exciting, can also be dangerous. But as of right now, I think the exciting part is we're going to get an influx of really great talent, hopefully mm-hmm. from multiple regions from Contenders, mm-hmm. and we'll get some vets to kind of move in with them and hopefully creating a stronger season 2.
Yeah, there's definitely a wealth of talent in the Tier 2 scene that I imagine is going to flood the Overwatch League here. But Bob, last words here. Any big name untouchables that you think might get shipped off to another team this season?
Honestly, I think that the San Francisco Shock has way too many DPS. And I think a guy that could get shipped off to another team to be a star is Baby Bay. Baby Bay got sat quite a bit. They seemed like they wanted to go with other people, and I think he could be a star on another team. Mm. Oh, and to comment on Kyle's thing with Envy, it was the first really good Western team we saw.
Mm. Yeah, definitely for sure. I mean, Envy was, I'm trying to think, I think maybe Cloud9, old Cloud9 might have been like a dominant force before them, and then Rogue for a little bit, but in terms of longevity, it was definitely Envy for a long time. But yeah, that's definitely a lot of good players there. I mean, I agree with the kind of the group notion here that no one's safe. I think when you see, I mean, Fissure had other baggage behind him, but still, like, that caliber of player getting shipped off for one reason or another definitely means it can be open for anyone.
What I want to know also is, how did they trade him when they're on 1 year contracts?
I don't know the logistics of it, but I think there was probably a buyout of some sort.
What I'm going to be really curious in, it's just kind of to tag in last second, is what Boop said. Are we going to be seeing more T2 players from contenders and not just specifically Korea, because I feel that their Korean contenders is like already a natural feeding line into the OWL teams. And I have heard whispers that some of these Western rosters are being considered to be replaced by 100% Korean rosters, just not considering any other regions. So that's something to think about as well.
Yeah, I mean, to put a bow on it, I think it will just be up to the GMs if they're doing their homework or not. I mean, you look at, there's just some GMs do a better job than others. I mean, you look at Boston, and they didn't have, they came in with a team that on paper looked horrifically bad, and I have the proof from the community's opinion how bad they were, and they kind of undid expectation. But we'll be sure to talk about that as the offseason progresses. Last question here in round number one, kind of from the flip side of that, we talked about players maybe getting shipped around. What about teams here? And we'll start with you, Kyle. Are there any teams that maybe have a big gaping hole in their squad that they need to fill with another player from a trade, or maybe even an acquisition from Tier 2?
Well, definitely Gladiators need a little bit. They definitely need a new main tank. They definitely need, like, a pinker. As well, I would think that maybe London will still want to kind of give the roster a bit of just extra backup, you know, in case someone gets sick or whatever. You got to have coverage on all your at least spots. You can maybe, if you have, like, a D.Va playing a Winston role at one point, it's not the worst case. But still, like, you want to have coverage for injuries and other issues that do come up. I think Houston could definitely do with a couple of different players. I think once they lose their players that they never play, there's lots of good opportunities for trades and also pickups. There's lots of good players or whatever. Tons of them in contenders, although unfortunately, like, the best two that I can think of are all underage. But there's still, like, Jax, who's also phenomenal as well. As well as Dallas is going to have, I would assume, a pretty decent restructuring, which gives them lots of opportunity for some serious Tier 2, probably NA talent, it seems like. Maybe some bilingual talent coming in to really bolster the roster.
Definitely seems like, we're starting to see kind of the flies drop a little bit with maybe not flies drop, but that we're seeing some of the players either step back in Seagull or get traded off, but from Dallas. And who knows if Effect is coming back or not. But Boop, we'll move to you. Are there any teams that could really benefit here from a trade, maybe a strategic trade, or that need to fill a position going into Season 2?
Yeah, I'm actually going to start with a finalist from the Overwatch League this time, and I'm going to go Philadelphia Fusion. So I am a shill for the Philly Fusion. Just going to put that out there. I love this team. I love the color orange. It's just part of me. But I actually have always thought that their support line could take someone a little bit more consistent and maybe not so aggressive. And so I love Neptuno. I love Boombox. I just can't put my finger on it, but I feel like there are people who are going to be better. And I think the reason why is because in order to enable Carpe, and even though, you know, the Fusion were like a motley crew from a bunch of different, you know, countries, a bunch of different languages, getting a Korean support line, you know, and just honestly more Koreans on the team, whatever team you are, I guess, is going to make you a lot scarier. And so I think that's kind of what this conversation is truly about almost. It's, yeah, like teams can trade with each other, but I don't necessarily see teams trading with each other. I see teams replacing people, particularly with the with kind of like the feeder system that Contenders Korea is. And so that's kind of, I think, where the league is going. And you know some people say it's a bad thing, some people, you know, don't mind, but you know, Philly Fusion comes to mind, the Gladiators come to mind. I think a really, really consistent DPS that's not a just a Widowmaker player could work really well for them. But you know, but in the end, I think when it comes down to brass tacks, the teams with open tryouts are going to make the most noise next season, because I'm really excited to see what kind of talent they can bring in, hidden talent, because it's going to be a lot of people. And I'm assuming a lot of those rosters will be replaced by some Korean players, even maybe on other current Overwatch League teams. And so I think those are going to be the ones that are going to be making the noise in the future.
Yeah, a lot of good points there. I am wondering how I want to see the numbers after the fact of like what percentage of players came from Korean contenders, NA contenders, EU contenders, etc. That'd be an interesting little it'll be an interesting little chart if someone wants to make that after the fact. But Bob, moving to you, I know you're we've talked a little bit about your Dallas Fuel here needing some help. Are there any other teams that could use some acquisitions here?
First off, side note, everybody talks about Carpe when EQO is the best DPS on that team. But moving on,
they're both very good.
They're both very good. I didn't say EQO needed to get replaced. He's definitely solid in my book.
Best flex DPS in AL. But go to your question. Dude, the Shanghai Dragons needs to replace everybody.
That's it, guys.
Those fighting words, over. Bob.
That's it. Yeah. Done. Bob, you win.
Coaches, GMs. Like, just everybody. Like, they just need to get a whole new roster. I mean, keep Gigiri because, I mean, it's good. It's good press. And she's probably the best player that we saw on the team. Maybe get her something to work with. And that, I mean, that's the answer.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely a good answer for sure. I think that you can pull a lot of combinations of six players from contenders and get at least one win in Overwatch League.
Yep.
Maybe at least. We'll have to wait and see. But Ham, last words here. What are you thinking? What teams need to wheel and deal this offseason?
Yeah, Shanghai Dragons definitely comes to mind. In particular, I think they don't even need to go with, you know, throwing out the baby with the bathwater. You could just replace the support line. We Free Feel, Five King, they've altering, they've all improved over the season, but nobody gets, you know, a star or a trophy for most improved or participation award, right? We really need to see them start stepping up. Another team that could use a stronger support line that comes to mind, definitely Boston. Sorry, Killix. Oh, no. When you have all these Mercy players and you say Mercy's such a passive hero, what are you doing? You're just hitting mouse one and WASDing around. No, there's a lot of nuance, you know, timing.
Thank you.
A lot of game sense. And when we have, you know, even when you're Neptuno and maybe you're too aggressive, but you have a style, right? He's aggro. He gets all these Mercy kills or say, you know, Ark, all he does is like pocket Jonak. He plays super defensively to enable his other support. We don't really see that coming through from Kellex. I just remember this like point on Volskaya, and maybe I even harped on it last time I was on Around the Payload, but like, it's not even like Carpe just gets a really clean shot and takes Kellex's head off. It's that Mercy feel. Oh, he can't do anything. He like just floats, not even like Guardian Angeling, but like because of gravity, just like into like the middle of the fight, and Winston's like, oh la la, you know, tesling around, and oh no, Kellex died, right? It's like those kinds of like, what were you doing, bro? Where were you kinds of things that, you know, otherwise on an extremely stellar team, I think if they had more confidence in their support line, it could further enable mistakes. He's been a little shaky. Maybe he just needs that extra boost of confidence that he can like go aggressive, go deep, you know, what have you. So definitely definitely Boston's support line. I would say take a look at that.
Yeah, definitely a lot of good points brought up across the payload here. My last thought on this is we've kind of learned, and with all of the talent in the tier two scene, and even probably hidden talent, like you can have players who have improved, like Ham said, but you don't need to keep players who are worse than other players. Like you could just, like, you could find better players. Like you don't need to keep
players.
They're there.
You don't need to settle for mediocrity. So I would imagine if I was running a team, I would be making a lot of shakeups if any players were not up to snuff. But that is going to be the end of round number one here. A quick recap of the scores for the podcast listeners. Very close game here. We've got a tie for third right now. Ham, Tornado, and Kyle win both at 16 points. Blazing Bob at 17. And the newcomer, Bupasaurus, leading the pack with 18 points. But still anyone's game as we go in to round number two. These drops just don't want to play today. Holy crap.
Round two. Capture the objective.
Sorry about that. Okay. Last weekend, we saw the first group, the first group of the Overwatch World Cup played in South Korea. And to the surprise of, I think, absolutely no one, South Korea had advances to BlizzCon with a, I believe, like 16-2 map record, which is notable because I believe that's the first time they've lost maps in the group stages of the Overwatch World Cup, but still dominant nonetheless. Boop, I'll start with you. What are your thoughts on South Korea in this Overwatch World Cup? Are they too good? Does anyone have any chance? What are you thinking here?
So I think there's actually a parallel in college women's basketball. So I've been at the UConn women's basketball team. So like twice they've won 80 games in a row, right? They have, I think, the top three longest win streaks in the history of women's basketball. Mm-hmm. But every so often in when it matters, usually they lose in the tournament. They lose in the semifinals. Mm-hmm. They will lose in the finals. And it's not because they're a worse team a lot of the time. I think when you're on top for so long, I mean, the Spitfire did just, I mean, yes, London, but the Spitfire did just win, you know, Overwatch League. Mm-hmm. And when you see the same people winning over and over and over again, it can get a little bit exhausting when you're going to go into a viewing experience expecting to lose. And that's not something that you really want to set up with the World Cup. In women's basketball, the storyline always is a David and Goliath type of situation where, in my opinion, everyone else can't be David. Right. So, you know, there are people out there that are closer in skill, but they're just so good. But the point here is the UConn's women's basketball team has lost, you know, they've lost in the Final Four a couple times. And I think the same possibility can happen here to the South Korean Overwatch World Cup team, because, again, when you're not challenged and, you know, they don't have the Korean system to challenge them like in other esports. Right. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be playing really high level teams all the time. And so when they do meet one in the finals or the semifinals, that's where I think they could stumble.
I just got to say, bonus point for bringing up UConn women's basketball. That I think is a first on the show for sure. Blazing Bob, your thoughts. Is this Korea's World Cup for the third year in a row, or are we maybe going to have some contest here?
Yeah, I think we're going to have a lot of contests. I mean, what Al has shown us is with constant scrimming against Korean teams, the West gets better. And you talk about Spitfire winning. I mean, they struggled hard, though, for two full stages. Mm-hmm. And they just barely got in. Mm-hmm. And NYXL dominated and then looked a little shaky towards the end there. So what, and in their last, like, Finland almost won. I mean, that was a frag from winning or losing. It was one mistake ruled that game. So no, I don't think they're going to be super dominant, but I think they are going to be very good.
Yeah, I don't think anyone can really make the argument that they're not going to be good here, especially after their performance in the first group. Ham, what do you think? Are we just at the mercy of South Korea for this Overwatch World Cup, or does anyone have a chance?
Oh, no, you can always. Determinism is real, folks. You can always write the ending to your own story. Nah, I mean, like Bob said, I think Finland showed that you don't have to be like innovating in all areas of play in order to, you know, bring competition to Korea. Mm-hmm. Just play your own game really well, and you can do quite well. I mean, we saw all kinds of crazy hero swaps and stuff. And I think, though, that and what NYXL has over a lot of these Western teams is the fact that they already have really solid teamwork foundations. Mm. They're just a team from Overwatch League, so that's a really unfair advantage. And due to that, they can stretch themselves into all these crazy compositions. Mm-hmm. Really happy to see Hammond being played, and the way that they used him, I think, again, is just like an iteration on this larger game sense. It's like, mm-hmm. not just how do I personally play Hammond really well, how do I enable my team of like D.Va, Doomfist, and like Pharah or mm-hmm. some random whatever to play the best around me. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of that more intangible and unseen quality that the South Korean team has that a lot of Western teams are still working up to, not through any fault of their own. So I think there is a lot of there could be potential for parity, because mm-hmm. again, like, you don't have to be just outside the box constantly. You know how to build like a really decent cardboard box mm-hmm. and you can bring it to South Korea. And like Bob said, you know, you gain a lot from scrimming these high-level teams, and Western teams have shown that, yeah, whatever, maybe our, like, mechanical aim isn't as good, but we mm-hmm. can, like, just, you know, out-comp you with, say, GOATs, right? Mm-hmm. And that still works. But I don't know. I still give the edge to Korea. Everybody would, of course.
Kyle, is there any chance here that you would bet? What stakes would it take you? Like, what odds would I have to give you to bet against South Korea in this World Cup?
I'd probably throw down like $20 or something, maybe $30.
But like, would I have to give you like 20 to 1 or 100 to 1 to make that bet? Like, if you want to take dollar to dollar for $20, South Korea versus the world, yeah, I'll take that bet all day.
Yeah. I don't know. So like, even from a team like Finland, who we knew was good, right? Mm-hmm. We knew, like, oh, this is a good team, but I don't think they're, like, a great, great, great team. They mm-hmm. have very clear limitations in their roster. Mm-hmm. You've got two, like, Widow players who don't play anything else quite to the level they play Widow. Mm-hmm. And so if a team like that with, you know, a D.Va player who legitimately has not played more than, like, you know, 30 minutes in Overwatch League or something along those lines... what can USA do? What can Canada do? Heck, what can China do? Because they have, you know, players that aren't on the Shanghai Dragons that are, you know, good. And so maybe...
Savage!
Maybe this was literally just the showing that they are a vulnerable team this year. Like, mm-hmm. last year it was like, oh my god, America took one map off of them. Now it's like, Finland took 2.5. They almost mm-hmm. beat them, like... The gap is seriously closing here, mm-hmm. and even if South Korea still win, which it's possible, it's, you know, probably 51% likely, at least, but I still think that regardless of all of that, it'll still be probably the best World Cup, because everyone has gotten better, mm-hmm. Everyone has gotten closer, and there's still a lot of mystery in the matches, there's still a lot of new players, some... you know, tier 2 players playing in the tier 2 mm-hmm. world now, and kind of seeing what that can be like, and I'm super excited to see what you know, what's going to happen with that.
Yeah, and actually, in that vein, we'll move on here, and like you said, Kyle, the teams, even though South Korea hasn't lost, it seems like the other teams, at least some of them, are catching up, and they're at least closer. This is the first time we've seen Korea lose any maps in the group stage, I believe. But is this the year, and we'll start with you, Bob, is this the year that the teams have really put their best foot forward and are actually trying at full capacity this year?
This is for sure the best year. With Al being, you know, with us ending Al, everything's better than it was last year. I mean, mm-hmm. just by an exponential amount. And then you look at things like we have real coaches coaching the teams now, like Arrow and Jane, like real coaches, not just ex-players that are coaching. And I think that's huge, because some ex-players will become great coaches, but not all. I would venture to say not more than 50%, and I would give you 20-1 odds on that. So,
are you saying you're still salty about Kai Kai, Bob?
that might have been one thing, but I mean, we have real coaches and coaches that are actually thinking about everything going into the game rather than just what they played before. They don't have the bad habits, and I think it's going to be really exciting, and I'm excited for the U.S. I mean, if Arrow can change Dallas Fuel that much, imagine what he could do with whoever he wants.
That is true. It always boils back down to the fuel with you, doesn't it, Bob?
It does. Burn blue.
Ham, we'll move on to you. What do you think? Is this the best year for Overwatch World Cup? Or are teams actually really trying this year?
Oh yeah, I think every time we have the iteration on the World Cup, teams become more and more clear on what they need in order to win, right? I'm gonna talk about the Brazil World Cup, because I actually just wrote an article about this, so it's you know, fresh in my mind. But just going off the example of this one country, right? So we remember all the way back in 2016, bruh, it feels like a million years ago. Like esports time is no joke; it's like 10 times longer, faster than dog time. But yeah, so like Brazil, originally they just came in and they're like, yo, I hear there's like this World Cup thing, 7 players from like 4 different orgs, nothing happened. And then in 2017, they decided to pull all the players from their top team in Brazil, Brazil Gaming House, did better, was really close to getting out of groups. And now, you know, the third iteration is going to be even stronger. They still have all those players. They still have all this teamwork, the synergy that you would expect to come from BGH, but now they've added some other elements from Black Dragons, for example. And it's every time that you iterate, it's going to be a little bit stronger, a little bit more nuanced in terms of like, oh well, who are we going to put on the US roster, for example? Sinatra and Hydration, like, yeah, okay, then you're like, hey, but who's gonna play Widowmaker? But it's not just a question about like having each good hero on your team, but say they play really well together, or between the two of them, they can generally cover all the heroes in like hit scan and projectile, right? It's kind of the cost benefit analysis. And I would definitely say that this year's World Cup is shaping up to be even better competition, the best of the competition so far.
Yeah, definitely a really good point there as well. Kyle, what are you thinking here? Is this, In your mind, is this the best World Cup iteration we've seen so far?
I think in terms of teams, yes. But I think in terms of like the players and their motivation, I feel like this is probably the second. I think last year's World Cup, where Overwatch League was still kind of this weird like cloud of ideas and things that people knew and didn't know. And you had, you know, 120 different players playing for their spots. Now you have like, you know, a couple, you know, maybe 30, 40 players who are playing to try to get in. But like, I think the franticness and the like the drive that you felt behind every single player who, when they popped off, they're like, this is what I need to do to get on an Overwatch League team. You know, just one good Widow headshot and I could, you know, and people notice me. And you know, especially from the countries that have, you know, your countries not like, you know, US and Canada and Korea and Sweden, like your smaller countries where you have opportunities for like really big surprising players, like we saw last year with AKTM, who was just like absolutely incredible. That kind of performance that we see, you know, that we saw that year, I feel like we're not going to see as much this year. But I do think the fact that the teams are more cohesive, better managed, better coached, everything being a bit closer is going to make it probably better to watch from a spectator perspective.
Yeah, I think I definitely agree with everything you said there. Boop, last words here. What are your thoughts on this World Cup?
So I think 3 to 6 months ago, when they announced the rosters, I I would not have guessed, based on the fatigue of the players and I think the viewers, that they really cared about it as much, if that makes sense. So that kind of goes off what Kyle was saying. It's, you know, 6 months ago, it didn't feel like anyone cared because Overwatch League was still going. Finals still needed to be played. And, you know, in the end, you know, even with the social media, everything seemed really slow. Now that we've arrived to the actual games and they've gotten some rest and they've gotten some time off, and I think some of these players from other regions are saying, this is my shot to get into Overwatch League, like South America and Pacific region players, they're taking it hyper seriously now. So I think the luster and wonder of the World Cup from last year is not the same, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the quality of play is worse, if you know what I mean. So again, I'm agreeing with Kyle. It's you know, I think it's a little less shiny because we've seen it before at this point. But now that we're moving forward into real coaches, these guys are playing great. Right. They, you know, Finland and Korea looked amazing during their games. And, you know, even the other countries had moments in time where, you know, they have moments of that brilliance. And that's where the heart is. And there's always something about playing for your country. Right. And, you know, standing for where you're from. And that's what the heart of the World Cup truly is. So it doesn't necessarily even mean anything about the play. Now that we're here and we're excited about it, we're ready to go. And I think this is going to be a phenomenal version of the World Cup.
Yeah, I think this is definitely the most hype one, at least from a viewer perspective. And moving here into the last question here of the round. It kind of the previous question actually made me think about this, because players like Fraggy and Shadowburn and I'm sure there are other players I'm forgetting are in the Overwatch League, but they're not starting right now. So you know, I think a lot of people Numlock even on is Numlock even on the UK team? I don't
think he is.
Yikers.
Yikers. but a lot of those players are playing maybe for spots on other teams or something. But to move on to this other question, I think the world was reminded just how good Shadowburn is, because even though Russia didn't make it in, did not qualify for BlizzCon, they were right on the cusp of that qualification. And there were some moments, particularly against, I believe it was against Chinese Taipei, where Shadowburn just completely, like, old school Shadowburn just demolished everything and was like, is he playing? Is he cheating right now? What? But the sad part is that because there's an Overwatch League and his run in the Overwatch World Cup is gone, and he obviously isn't on a contender team because he's in Overwatch League, there's no place to watch Shadowburn play anymore until maybe Season 2. So the question here, Ham, after an hour of buildup, is should there be a place that we can see Shadowburn and, you know, Fraggy if he didn't make it, or all these players that are in the Overwatch League that aren't playing in World Cup and aren't playing right now, should there be a place for us to see them?
Absolutely. I think everybody could probably agree that it'd be nice to have some more third-party tournaments, however that manages to manifest itself. Because, you know, coming off of what Boop was talking about, that viewer fatigue, right? It's not, at least to me, it's not often a question of just the quantity of content that maintains viewer interest. Is like, oh, well, you could watch 8 hours every day, right? You know, I'm watching like the same stuff 8 hours a day. At this point, I like, you know, dream in like LA Gladiators, and I just have nightmares about that rotation on King's Row, or, you know, that kind of thing, because we've seen the same stuff so many times. So I definitely think that there should be a place for players who, whatever, maybe their mechanical skill isn't as great as some of the other players around, but we shouldn't just be viewing like the absolute top like five Genjis in the universe, right? There's a lot of value to be had from watching other players who are really good. Maybe they just have hella entertainment value, like Fraggy, right? Who doesn't want to see like him get like a massive like 180 flanking earth shatter, crashes down and demolishes the entire team by himself? He saves the point, right? So, you know, whatever fashion that manages to come through, whether it's just, you know, show matches, By the way, I am so pumped for the All-Stars game. I think this is great. It's going to, you know, swap things up, gives people just a little bit of a different flavor, right? It's not as high stakes. It's just for fun. I think it'd be great to inject some more of that just for fun, right? I just want to see somebody just go crazy with Widow, right? I just want to see this Reinhardt destroy butts.
Yeah. Good point there with the All-Star game, really adding some variety. Kyle, what do you think? Should we, the viewers at home, be denied the ability to see Shadowburn pop off all year long?
I don't think, I don't know. I feel like for Shadowburn's sake, he's probably going to want to take a little bit of a break. If he, like, I mean, maybe not.
He had to break the whole second half of the season.
But, like, he's the one player, he and Fregi are both the two players that, like, I would be very surprised stayed on Philly as bench players. I think that they are players that will 100% start on any expansion team that isn't, like, full Korean. I could 100% see that, and I think that as we're seeing expansion teams brought on more and more, it's going to be more and more likely that we have less and less, like, phenomenal talent just riding a bench. And so I think that with that, there becomes less and less of a need of having, like, mix up tournaments with the Overwatch League talent, and I think more of an opening for having the tier two players play more with the tier one players. I think that's the big problem that we're seeing as well, and that's, like, half of what the World Cup is like, what good, you know, Overwatch League players can play with what good contenders players and stuff like that. And so I think that that's kind of more what I would like to see. I don't think we, you know, I think if Shadowburn gets his spot on another team, I don't think he's going to necessarily feel like he's, like, got nothing to do from July through December.
Right. Yeah, I mean, some of the players are definitely going to want some physical time off too. But, Boop, what do you think? Should we be able to see these players, maybe players that didn't start in Overwatch League and aren't in the World Cup, should there be some way for us to see them as viewers?
Yeah, I think that's I'm going to do another sport example, pulling in UConn women's basketball. Now I'm just going to do a general college football. So when our favorite players from our favorite college football teams don't get drafted, we don't get a chance to see them again, right? And no one seems to care there. And so I personally would love to see Shadowburn play. And I think when Blizzard changed the rule set for flex players to do contenders matches as well as owl matches at the same time, I think they had this specific question in mind when it came to that. It's, how can we showcase these stars that have big followings that came from being really big streamers who aren't quite good enough to be starters, but are good enough to play? Right. And we want to see them play. Like, everyone loves Shadowburn and his Genji. Right. And so I think producing the two way player thing was Blizzard's way of trying to solve this problem. Is it going to work? Probably not. And only because I think just the way that it works, you're not allowed to play in two contenders matches in a row or something like that. Or you're just in contenders. And, you know, there's a lot of, like, minutia involved in how to handle this. But, you know, contenders has always felt like the NCAA, you know, college sports amateur scene that feeds into the professional Overwatch League scene. And again, in those sports, we don't get to see our favorite quarterbacks and running backs play again. And maybe because there's more of them, so we don't mind as much. But I would like Blizzard to really go hard on this flex team thing and provide players that have these fan bases and the skill. It's not about the fans. It's also about their skill, because they are good enough to be here.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you get to see your favorite college quarterback play baseball instead. I'm going to take it. Nope, I'm not making the I've already said enough about Tim Tebow. Let's move out here. Bob, last words. What do you think about this about all this? Should we be able to see these players play more in the offseason?
Yes, we should. And they could do it on this little thing called Twitch.tv. Overwatch is not one of the biggest streaming things on Twitch at the moment, and we need players like that to pick up the torch and help keep Overwatch in. And I think the teams should sponsor them. That would help them do it. It would, they could put, you know, like Seagulls streaming right now still with all the Dallas Fuel stuff up. I think that could help the teams, that could help League, that could help Overwatch as a whole. We can't just have XQC and Aimbot Calvin running all of Overwatch Twitch. So I think that would be a great place where we could watch them now. I think, you know, that was a great point about them going down to contenders and playing matches there. But right now, that would be great to just see them on Twitch.
That's actually a really good point that I didn't even think about when I wrote the question, which reminds me of another thing that the Oracle prophet, leak boy himself, former Around the Payload alumnus Slasher said that we need on Twitch: pro pugs. Just saying, everyone still wants it. It
was my favorite moment of pre OWL.
Yeah, it was literally everyone's. And then we got OWL and everyone forgot about it, but it's still not there. But that's going to be the end of round number two here. Quick recap of the scores. This is really close here. We still have a two-way tie for third, but now we've got Boop and Blazin' Bob at 38 points and a two-way tie for first with Ham and Kyle both at 39 points. So this is going to be one of the closest final rounds here that we've had, and we do have to hurry up a little bit. We are running a little bit quick on time, but as we move into round number three, every single point is going to matter.
The payload is approaching its destination.
every point matters on Around the Payload. The points are still made up, but they definitely matter. Round number three, of course, is the buy or sell round. This is a simple round. I'm going to be reading off a statement. The hosts get to either buy, agree, or sell, disagree. And that's going to be it. So we're going to start here with Kyle. Buy or sell, giving more time off for players, whether it be in between stages, season, matches, etc.
Sell. Every player needs to play at least one match every single day of the 7-day week. We need no breaks. We need no stops, no breaks. Always a game on 24/7. No, I'm going to 100% buy this. I think anyone who doesn't buy this does never watch Overwatch League in their life. I think that there's lots of good opportunities to split up the stages, specifically, like I think Hex mentioned it, between like stage 2 and 3, you've got a lot of great opportunities for rolling out like a big patch. They're having like a 2-3 week gap there and really using that like mid-season point to really mix up the meta. And then for the rest of it, you kind of just leave like, I think maybe a 1 or 2 week break between each stage is fine. I think maybe 2 is probably best, because then you can have your 1 week for your, you know, meetups and go signing autographs in your hometown or whatever. And then 1 week to just like chill, as well as maybe having less of a break between playoffs and season.
Yeah, for sure there. Boop, your thoughts, buying or selling, giving players more time off?
So definitely going to buy this. They already got the deal with Disney. They got the deal with Twitch. They don't need to always be on all the time. So, and also with the players, we have a lot of players from a lot of different countries. And when you give, you know, a week and a half off in between stages and you're going back home to Korea, you're going to adjust to that jet lag for 3 days. You're not really going to enjoy yourself. And by the time you come back, you're on Korean time and you have to come back to LA time. And that's just not fair for anyone, really. And so everyone needs breaks in everything that they do. It's how you stay healthy. It's how you stay mentally aware. And so the players, the coaches, and the viewers need this break too, because I think that's why World Cup has been, you know, a little bit more hype, is we went through a period of time where we didn't get that pro level Overwatch, and now we're getting it, and that's why it feels so good. And so sometimes the best things come when you wait.
A lot of good points there as well. Bob, buying or selling, giving the players more time off?
Well, I've been buying this since the end of stage one. I said it was a little too much for these players, and it's just a little too tough. What we need is bye weeks. We need weeks where a whole team has the week off, and we need them throughout. And honestly, 2 matches a day is perfect. Like, watching the playoffs felt really good to watch 2 matches. 3 was always kind of pushing it for me. Now, I'm weird, and I watch every single one. But if it was just 2, it would be great. And simultaneous matches in another auditorium, maybe in New York, maybe in Europe someplace, having up going at the same time so people can watch their teams. So definitely buy.
A definite buy around the board. Ham, are you buying this as well? Did we lose Ham? Oh God, did we lose everybody?
Ham's gone. Am I still here?
Ham's gone. Oh, Ham's back.
He's back.
That was odd. My am I here?
You are here.
Yes. You are here. Okay. No camera.
Oh, my webcam. Let me
don't worry about the webcam. If you don't,
I've actually been abducted. That's what's happened here.
I'd say blink twice if you're in trouble, but your webcam's off. So.
All right, I'll just like honk twice or something. Yeah, but do I need to like leave this call and join back in?
No,
would that screw up the entire?
I would
you
just
can
I
click
just
the
run
little
with
button
it.
At the bottom that says camera if you want to, right
Let's
under
see.
Your
Will
picture.
It work? Yeah.
There it is.
Hi.
Okay. Sorry, I was
sorry.
Can you make that same face?
But yeah, no, 100% buy. Yo, everybody should buy. Buy. Close out liquidation sale because I think one of the common threads that we've had throughout Overwatch League, kind of this, you know, in a way, a big experiment. How can we get this franchisation, this regionalization, get people to buy in and invest and stuff? And I think there's a couple things that have become clear, right? Again, tying into that whole idea of like quality, not just quantity, right? Like Bob said, two games a day, man. You get to savor the games when it's not just constant fire hose of content, right? You remember when you were like a little kid and you were like, if my mom wasn't here, I would just like eat Doritos all day long. And then one day she like let you stay home by yourself at an afternoon and you just like stuffed your face with Doritos and you're like, I don't feel
and
so
you
good.
Turn into this.
Oh, no. Not where I was going to go, but all right.
It's where I sadly went.
So yeah, it's kind of that idea, right? Like you only really appreciate something if you can have it in like that kind of limited quantities, right? The psychology of viewership maybe. But the other part is we've talked a lot about the players, the teams, the viewers, but talent fatigue too, at least as a caster, right? I can't imagine what it would be like being like casting like so many games for so many days of the week and every time you have to come into it as hype as you were the first game that you ever cast in the Blizzard Arena.
How does Uber do it?
and so he's just jazzed on life, man. And so like the quality, you have to think about the quality of the product, right? If you know, I can guarantee that the talent were feeling the hours kind of pressing down upon them. By the time you get to like stage three, the meta again, kind of like what Kyle said, if we had a big break and then a major meta shift, that could spice up the marriage again, right? Yep. But as it was like slogging through and you're just forced to squeeze out this energy and you're like, bro, I'm a turnip. I got nothing more to give, right? So everybody would kind of do better, I think, if it was a little bit less content each day and maybe some more substantial breaks between. Because again, we also have to remember that these are kids. There's been multiple arguments. I'm not going to really retread a lot of what other people have said more eloquently, but they're kids. Come on, right? Already it's so hard for even us as adults to separate like work life and play when your work is video games. And I don't know, we don't really know what kind of effect it's going to have on them developmentally yet. We can only see the signs of fatigue, so breaks are always good.
Yeah, definitely a lot of good points. I think overall most people agree with that. There's a few countervailing opinions, but we'll have to talk about those at another time as we are quickly running out of time here. But we're going to move on to the next question here. Boop, we'll start with you. Buy or sell this Los Angeles Overwatch World Cup group already being decided with the USA.
Brazil! I am selling this, and I am selling it hardcore. I'm going to look right at the camera and say this. My heart is telling me that the South American Overwatch team with Liko, with Dudu, with Olay and Wetter, great players from the region. I am so excited for them to come to Burbank and make a ton of noise. No one knows who these players are, so hopefully they're going to use the power of surprise to their advantage, just like I did as well. You see how effective that was. And so, you know, they're going to come in, and the thing about Brazil Gaming House, which five out of the seven members are a part of, is they haven't lost in a year, or they've lost three times in a year to one team. And you know, going into, you know, a high level matchup, I think they're the most prepared a Brazilian team has been to potentially get that second spot in the region. So I am going to sell it, because I think if Canada or the US have a very, very bad day, and Brazil has the best day they've ever had in their life, which I think could happen. I'm hoping that it happens. we'll be seeing this flag a little bit more.
Ooh. Bro, because that'd be the best day of my life too, because South America all the way.
Ooh, my Overwatch man. Icon as well, just saying.
That would be fire for sure. But Bob, what are you thinking? Are you buying or selling this? Let me be clear. The question is USA Canada locking this up. Are you buying or selling that?
I am buying that for sure. I mean, two words. Arrow and Jane.
Mm.
Two head coaches. And Switzerland, like, they don't fight. I don't even understand why they're even here. Like, they're Switzerland.
Shout outs to World War II.
Nope. It's it'd be cool if Australia put up a fight. You know, big fan of Custa and big fan of the guys at
Austria, not Australia, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my bad. Never mind. Austria.
But Custa's great. Custa's great.
Custa's a great guy. Very handsome individual.
Custa's a great guy. But yeah,
Bob didn't realize because it wasn't Austria-Hungary because he's still in World War II again.
Hey, that was an amazing history joke, my friend. That is
almost. Got there.
Give yourself 20 points.
Yeah. I'm sorry I had to derail you there, Bob. It was too much. It was too much.
Oh no, it was a good. It was a good end to it.
Hey, I'm buying or selling this being locked up by USA Canada.
Sell. This is penny stock garbo. I am also 100% on the Brazil team. Okay, I didn't write an article on the amazingness of what they could bring to the table just because I wanted to write an article. Rupa and I have been. By the way, you should definitely catch South America Contenders quarterfinals this weekend.
Whoa! Don't you can't sell out until you win. Finish. You can't sell out until you win.
But you should watch these Twitch games. You can watch them Portuguese. It's still great. Ooh. By the way, everybody should check out that Portuguese cast. They cast absolutely everything that happens is the most hype res I've ever seen in my life. Oh, smash the E. Oh my God. Yeah. But Brazil has like passion. They have that never say die attitude that I feel like, you know, it's with this new iteration of these teams and stuff. And oh, we'll just play clinical, full reset. We'll come back in with like a six man, right? Mm-hmm. That kind of hungry, gritty, you know, like a type of play style has fallen a little bit to the wayside, I think. And that alongside all of the players that Boop listed off, you know, I think that Brazil mm-hmm. is a big powerhouse that's been underestimated since the beginning of, we'll say 2017, because 2016 was pretty rough. We'll be honest here. Mm-hmm. But this time around, I have full confidence. Like Neil in particular and Honorato, check out, I'm a tank main, check out this tank duo. They are battering Rams. Just insane. And the way that they play with the rest of the team in particular, like every window is just like gaping, like ceiling to floor. They just walk through and take control of the point. It's amazing. So
we have one USA Canada have it locked versus two Brazils with the upset. Kyle, what are you buying or selling USA Canada taking this?
I'm gonna buy this, bro. I'm gonna buy. I think just the fact that you have LAN experience, like complete through both teams. I mean, technically Zachary hasn't played on LAN as much, but he was on LAN for finals for Contenders and was mm-hmm. amazing. So I think that combined with the fact that you've got a really solid coaching group here for both USA and Canada, as well as like the fact that there's just like so much money and support around these, and I totally recognize that South America is like the least funded Contenders region mm-hmm. and like they're hurting for money and it's a travesty, but I think that like if we've seen anything is that like money does buy you wins for the most part. And I think that because of all of these different things, I'm going to go ahead and buy it, but I'm not going to like say that it's completely impossible. I think that Canada, if any team has the likelihood of completely just falling off. Mm. There's quite a lot of players on that team who could tilt off the face of the earth and run your team into the ground. And it's not the one that you think. There's also others. But I think that because of that, they're the most likely, Canada's the most likely to lose, but I don't think it's a very high, I think it's like they have like a probably an 85% chance of making it in fine.
Well, we have two very vehemently Brazilian fans in here, so it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see how that one turns out this week. But we're going to move on to the last question here, round three. That, of course, is the meme question. And Kyle alluded to the player earlier that won the hashtag T-Mobile MVP award last year because it was completely by Twitch chat vote who won the T-Mobile MVP award for the Overwatch World Cup. So, Ham, buy or sell that they just run back the format again. Just let Twitch chat choose it outright, even though the winner of last year is currently suspended, has his account suspended on Overwatch, has been fined, suspended, etc. from Overwatch League. Do you think that buying or selling just having them run it back again?
I mean, it depends. Yo, we could have Twitch chat choose the vote for the Overwatch League commissioner. I mean, popular vote only counts for so much. I would say, I don't know. It depends on how much real honor they want to try and make it confer. Mm-hmm. So if you're just going off the idea that, hey, yo, you want to get votes and have your name pop up in like all the rest of the spam, mm-hmm. then sure, whatever, like run it back. But if they want to start turning it into something that people actually want to attempt to earn, mm-hmm. there's a lot of how big a suggestion box are we talking? Right. So, yeah. I don't know
how big is Twitch chat is the question. Kyle, buying or selling them just running it back?
I'm gonna buy it. If it literally has become so big of a meme that it would be a dumb idea from their marketing team to not run it back again. As long as you have Golden Boy and as long as you have XQC, literally like that is all the people are gonna see in Twitch. That is such not free advertising, but like it's way more than what you would initially pay for. Mm-hmm. If you're T-Mobile, by the way, T-Mobile marketing team, hire me. I'm not qualified at all. So I think that like just the fact that it's become such a huge meme at like, and not necessarily in a bad way, just like it's such a big thing. There's no reason to not do it again. Obviously, it's 100% an arbitrary award. It doesn't mean you're the best player. It literally just mm-hmm. means that like you have the most Twitch following.
You're the most meme.
Yes.
Yeah.
And XQC gets it again without a doubt.
For sure. Boop, what do you think? Buying or selling them running back the T-Mobile MVP award?
Can I do this? Sorry, I'll stop.
You can.
I'm gonna buy that because in order to feed the hive mind, well, in order to keep the hive mind under control, you have to feed them sometimes, right? And so I think Twitch is the gaming hive mind, and you can't live with it, you can't live without it, and it's just a part of our culture. And sometimes you gotta lead them along with those breadcrumbs. And I think hashtag T-Mobile MVP is those breadcrumbs, because if they're spending all their time trying to vote for XQC or whatever person that they're standing at the time, they're not doing other things. And that's exactly what you want, because technically that's positivity, right? You're rewarding the player. Twitch is doing it. They get to say they did a good thing. And so along with the advertising, along with the shill, and along with Golden Boy, who can hype literally anything up, I think this is a hard buy for Boopsaurus.
Ah, man, I just don't know if you can use positivity in Twitch chat in the same sentence. And
when it's fake, and led by the company, right? True. Then I think it's fine.
That's true. Bob, last words here. Buy or sell them running back the hashtag T-Mobile MVP award.
I'm going to go with a hard sell. We have graduated from the nastiness and we've graduated from Twitch chat. We're on ESPN now. Let ESPN run it. Let's do that. Let's go from the backyard play to the major leagues, and let's change a few things along the way. And this is one of them.
Hey, if you need an idea for a great award to put more attention on, the Dennis Hawelka Award, right?
Yeah. Definitely good. The last thing I'll say about this is that whether they use Twitch chat or not, it's just not going to be like. It's not going to be super reliable, but you know it is reliable. T-Mobile.
Yeah!
Got there. Sorry, had to do it. Had to do it. Okay, that is going to bring us to the end of the regular rounds here, and that means that we're going to have to cut away two players here and lead to our final two. So That is going to be, we had actually a tie for, I guess, fourth place here. That was, sadly, Ham with 52 points, as well as hashtag forever fourth place Blaze and Bob with 52 points as well. Which I knew, that's right. I knew Bob would wear that with honor. But that does mean that we're going into the finals here. Boobasaurus versus Kyle Wynn. And that, of course, means that our other two panelists are going to get to choose the winner and, of course, need to be impartial to who they pick.
I'm always unbiased, man. Unbiased caster. Yes.
Okay. Or else I'm going to have to choose, and no one wants that. But that's going to move us into our absolutely final question here.
The payload is approaching its destination.
And I realized after I wrote this and it was too late to change that this is going to kind of shoehorn in people into picking one thing or the other. But that's the beauty of the show. I make up the rules even if they don't make sense, even to me. So after a random toss of a coin, we are going to have Kyle go first here. And the question is simple. Who is going to win the most important Overwatch match of the year? And that, of course, is the All-Star Game Talent Showdown. Atlantic or Pacific Division? The Pacific Division has Reinforced Crumbs, Zoe, Semler, Monty, Puckett, and Hexagrams, while the Atlantic Division has Malik, Sideshow, Golden Boy, Mr. X, Doa, Uber, and Bren. So Kyle, who are you picking?
I'm picking Atlantic 4 days. You cannot underestimate the Brenji and the Brito and whatever other, the Bracer, I assume, the Brinehart. I don't know, maybe. But I think that, like, as good as Reinforce is, he's going to be playing DPS, I think, is the final verdict for the Pacific Division, which means you have Monty on main tank, and Monty has, like, only slightly more hours on Overwatch than I do, and I don't play ever. So I think that between him, between Bren and Sideshow, who has like the most random carry moments, Doa the forever fragging Zenyatta, Golden Boy who's going to be killing on the Mercy. I think Malik is probably going to be like the niche player they bring in like for a map or something, only when they really need some Reaper. But I think that like just the fact that most of these players are in Masters or GM, or maybe some of them are still in Diamond. Like I think there might only be Doa still below that, but I think that they just have a higher SR as a team. And not Monty.
Wow.
Man,
wow.
The shade thrown. And Boop, I know that this kind of forces you into picking the Pacific Division, but make your best argument here.
That's all right, because I was picking them anyway. So, number one, I know you said Reinforce is playing DPS, but Reinforce is Reinforce, and I know that guy can clutch up. Number two, their faces are much prettier than the Atlantic Division. let's talk about that. Reinforce, handsome, Crumbs, beautiful. Zoe, no words needed. Semler, that beard. Monty, the brain. Puckett, the voice. Hexagrams, the I don't know, but the
savage.
But that's savage. Part of it. And I know, Hex, I love you. You know that. So I know that the Pacific Division will clutch up. They are practicing. They're putting the minutes in. And SR or MMR is just a number until the big day comes. And I think if I want to put a big brain on a team, that big brain is going to be Monty instead of Sideshow, because Sideshow is still Sideshow. And Brett is still Brett. And that cannot be underestimated. I've spent some time with those two back in the Contender Season 0. Mm-hmm. And I know that if I were picking a team on the lot, I would probably pick the Pacific Division. And that is why they are going to win.
Ooh, some very good and heated arguments on both sides. So we're going to let the other two hosts put their vote in and see who they pick. We'll start with you, Ham. Are you going with Boopasaurus with the Pacific Division, or Kyle Wynn with the Atlantic Division?
Sorry, bro. I got to go with my heart. Got to go Pacific. I mean, Boop made a pretty sound argument, and that's the thing, man. You can't discount passion. I'm just a simple sheep. He's a salesman, and he sold me. Like, how can you discount the beauty of Semler's beard? So beautiful, so perfectly trimmed. And Crumbs's, you know, Twitter game is just on 1,000, man. Like Brandon and Sideshow are going to be tilted off the side of the planet before they even hit the arena. So I definitely have to go with Pacific.
definitely a good choice there. Bob, are you going to give it to the Pacific Division, or is this going to have to go over to me to make a choice? Who are you going with here?
Well, there were some good points, but the Atlantic Division is just like me, a boosted Masters players. So I'm going to have to go with Bupasaurus and get it because that's the right answer. Reinforce is a top 500 tank. So I'm pretty sure his DPS is going to be okay, even if he can't aim.
I hate to say it, Kyle. I was going to go, even if it was a tie, I was going with Pacific here because we interviewed Hex the other day, and he brought up the really good point that Golden Boy and Malik are probably playing on Xbox controllers.
Have you heard Monty's comms?
Here's the thing.
Whether I hear Monty's comms or not, I know that he's at least not going to be playing a Zenyatta on the other side of the map like Cypher. So
practicing a lot. Zoe too. So yeah. They want to win this.
Yes, for sure. But Boop, that means that you are victorious here.
Undefeated.
Play this victory music for you.
Objective. Well done.
The floor is yours. Sell out, shout out, whatever you'd like. The floor is yours.
I'd like to thank everyone on Around the Payload for my inaugural victory. I maintain my undefeated streak. Thank you so much. Please check South American Contenders out starting this weekend. There are some amazing teams playing, but I want to describe one to you. I'm going to take my time to do this. Breakdown Gaming, they started to win 10 Blizzard Bucks. They got fourth place in Trials. They won Open Division. Oh, no, they got fourth place in Open Division. They won Trials, and now they are in the playoffs. So that tells you the path to pro is real. You can become a professional Overwatch player even if you just want to win $10. And please check us out this weekend, Broadcast GG. That's my shill. Thank you guys so much.
Woo. A good shill it was. But that is going to be it, everyone. Thanks, everyone, on Around the Payload this week. Thanks, everyone, for being here. I hope you guys had fun. Make sure you leave any comments in the comment section that you'd like. Just comment on it. There's a lot of fire this episode, so there's definitely a lot to talk about it. So definitely do that. But for Blaze and Bob, for Hampton Rado, for Kyle Wynn, for Bupasaurus, I'm the Blevins, and we'll see you guys in a couple of weeks around the payload. Bye-bye.